thank you all for coming out this morning. It's absolutely a beautiful day, and I know we can expect that for the rest of today. So we're not going to try to keep you in your seats too long, because I know what it's like to sit inside and look outside and go, man, I wish I could be out there. It gets exhausting. Anyway, this morning, first of all, we're going to take up our morning tithes and offerings. You have the envelopes in the seat back pocket and chair in front of you. You can utilize, if you have any prayer requests, those can be written on there, or you can contact me through email or text, anything like that, if you need to get in touch with me. I will pray before we take up our offering, and then we will go through some announcements as our offering is collected this morning. If you would bow with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I just thank you for this time that we can join together and lift your name on high. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory today. Just ask that you would receive it, Lord. And as we give back to you from what you have blessed us with provision, with finances, with everything that you have given to us, Lord, we give back to you. We ask that you would receive it and that you would multiply it for your kingdom's purpose. We thank you, Jesus, for everything that you have done for us. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a couple real quick announcements. Number one, I'm sure it'll be coming up on the screen, videotaping clips for our anniversary service. What we're looking for is people that are willing to kind of sit down and do a real short video testimony of how you feel your life has been impacted by coming here, by coming to River of Hope. I'm not specifically talking about how my awesome preaching, I'm being facetious when I say that, but I'm talking about how the River of Hope family has impacted you. So I know that a lot of personal connections are made here, which is awesome. That's part of what church is about. And so how River of Hope as a whole has impacted you. There's nothing to be nervous about. We have a professional coming in to videotape us. Yes, it is my youngest sister, and I'm honored to be able to say that she is a professional. And she's coming up, is that next weekend? Next Sunday. So this coming Sunday already is when she is coming. She's coming from Madison. So we'd like to have enough people on the slate to make it worth her drive to come up here. There are a few people signed up. There's a timesheet on the information table. You don't have to be long. If you have 20 seconds, you know, that you have something quick you want to share, perfect. That's fine. She's going to, I believe they have 15 minutes slated for each person, just so you can get comfortable. Do a couple takes if you need to. If you think you're goofy on one, you can do it again. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're doing that so that we can play that video. DeAndre's actually going to be putting together a compilation of all of these testimonies to be played at our anniversary service, which is coming up on May 21st. So please consider signing up for doing that, for a video testimony. Number two, there's a Ladies Connect coming up May 19th. Is that a Friday? Yes. So Friday, May 19th, it'll be 6 p.m. here at the church. I see pie, coffee, and games. It sounds like a good time to me, but anyway, I can't come. As the pastor, I think there should be some sort of a, you know, can drop in. Anyway, we'll leave the ladies alone. Friday, May 19th, 6 p.m. here at the church, pie, coffee, and games. There is no charge for that. Just come, bring your friends, and have a good time together. Lastly, our anniversary service is May 21st. We are still looking for some people who are willing to kind of volunteer and help get things set up, whether it's setting up food. We're doing a meal after service. It's going to be kind of an afternoon of fun. So we're going to have our normal worship service at 10:30. We're going to have coffee bar open before and after service. So now if you miss your chance before, you can get a nice little shot of espresso or whatever you need to make it through the afternoon. Pulled pork lunch. All sorts of good stuff happening. We're celebrating our fifth anniversary, and we want to make it special not only for us as celebrating that milestone, but also for every one of you that has made that possible, that we continue to keep moving forward. Bring your friends. There will be a suggested donation to help cover the costs of the meal. and more information will be coming out there. Getting back to what I started saying, we are looking for people willing to help set up. Dwayne and Lori Parkinson are not here this morning. They have agreed to lead this for us. They're setting up all of the details. They're setting up all of the games and all of the fun stuff that's happening that day. And we want to support them and help them to the best of their abilities. So if you have any skills, I know there are going to be a lot of setup happening outside. There's going to be a lot of outdoor games, different things. Contact Dwayne and Lori and just ask what they need help with. There's nothing to be scared about. It's not a massive list, but we do need more hands to help them, many hands to make light work. So keep that in mind. We are going to be jumping right into our series. We took a two-week break for Good Friday and Easter away from our Romans series. We're jumping back in to Romans chapter 4 this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, can open to Romans chapter 4. Let's pray before we read the word this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time that we can be here. Lord, we just ask that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the message you have for us through your word. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak through me, that nothing that would come from my mouth would not bring fruit of who you are and who you are in us. We ask that you would just help us to receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 1, I'm gonna preface this message with, I always have a hard time when the New Testament brings up Old Testament characters. And I mean, let me explain. Romans chapter 4 starts out talking about Abraham. So when I start speaking about Abraham and reading about Abraham, I feel, therefore, that I need to share a little bit about Abraham, which is natural. You know, I want you to know who we're talking about, what it means, and be as clear as I can when I communicate from the scriptures. It takes a lot more study when you have to go from a New Testament passage and study up on the Old Testament to clarify the New Testament, but it's good and it's worth it. So I will be sharing a little bit out of some commentary this morning as well that should hopefully help us to clear up and make things a little bit easier to understand this morning. So we're going to read from Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. Verse 5, but people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Coming from Psalms, I believe it's chapter 53. Oh, what a joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. That short passage right there expresses so much truth and so much power in just two little verses coming from David in the Psalms. Verse 9, Now is this blessing only for the Jews, or is it also for uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? Was he counted as righteous only after he was circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Verse 11, circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. And Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. Verse 13, clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. We're going to begin back at verse 1. Abraham, humanly speaking, was the founder of our Jewish nation. Abraham, obviously, I don't know that there's any of us who would be considered Jewish in here. Maybe. If so, awesome. Here's the interesting thing about Abraham. Abraham is considered to be the first Gentile converted Jew. Now think about that for a second. Before Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, there were no Jews. Okay? Now, when you think about that, if we don't have any Jewish history or Jewish background or heritage within us, we are just like Abraham. Now, the whole converting to Jewish Judaism, Jewish faith, that's kind of a different subject. If I get to that, we'll explain it some more. But we need to understand, Abraham was the first Jew as God blessed him to be the father of that nation. Okay, so maybe that's a little bit foggy. I hope I can clear that up as we progress through this. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. But what did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. And God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Now, we've been spending a lot of time as we've been working our way through Romans explaining really the one constant between all of creation is that we are all fallen, we're all short of God's glory because of our sinful state. Right? And we understand that as being something that we're all equal on, that there's nothing between any of us, whether you're a Jew, whatever your race is, your creed, it doesn't matter, it doesn't make a difference. The one constant is that we are all short of God's grace based on our sinful, fallen state. We've been talking a lot about how we are not saved by what we do. We're not saved by our actions. We're saved by our faith in Jesus. And Paul is continuing to push this point in Romans chapter 4. Now he's talking about Abraham, who really, especially in this context, in the text we're reading from, as he's writing to the Romans, and he's writing to the Jewish people there. He's telling them, your father, your founder, was not saved by his actions, but he was saved by his faith. Now, one thing I want to clarify, Abraham lived before Jesus. Okay, so we start to look at this idea of, well, how can people from the Old Testament who came before Jesus be saved? It's an interesting idea. It's an interesting thought. Now, I don't know how to clearly communicate that except in the case of Abraham, because Romans tells us kind of what's happening. In verse 3, for the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now, what did Abraham believe God? See, God gave Abraham the promise that he was going to be the father of nations, that his descendants would be as numerous as the sands on the seashore. Now, how do we know that Abraham had faith for that to take place? Abraham, if you're not familiar with the story of Abraham, Abraham was well aged. He was old, right? And he still didn't have any kids. He still didn't have anything that would give him any hope of having descendants. Now, if we were to get kind of deep into details, he and his wife went off and had a child with one of his servants because he was trying to do his own direction of what God had already promised him. He was trying to make sure that was going to happen, but on his own terms. And we continue to see that Abraham, I believe he was about 100 years old when he and his wife Sarah had the miracle of their son being conceived and born. That's Isaac. So Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God when God said, you will have descendants as numerous as the seashore. There's more to it that Abraham believed and stepped out in faith in what God had told him that we're not sharing from right now. But when we read, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith was proven based on his belief in the promise God had given him that he would have a seed and that he would be the father of generations. Descendants as numerous as the seashore, sand on the seashore. For the scripture tells us Abraham believed God and God had counted him as righteous because of his faith. Abraham believed God in his promise that he was given. Now, the interesting thing to think about is we're kind of chewing that one for a little bit. God has given us a promise as well. Right? He's given us the promise of salvation through faith in Jesus. Abraham came before Jesus, therefore he could only have faith that God was going to fulfill what had been promised. He didn't know how, he didn't know necessarily who it was that was coming to fulfill that promise. But he had faith that it would happen. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. People are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. This is something we're going to see repeated time and time again through Romans. People are counted righteous not because of their work. We have to be very careful in how we're acting, in how we are going about our life and progressing in our faith, that we don't get caught up in the idea that if I do more work, if I focus on giving money and helping people and I focus on all of that, that's going to be my salvation. Because it's not. No matter what state we're in, as long as we come back to the fact that Jesus Christ died for us and we believe that he was raised from the dead and that he holds a key to our salvation in his death and resurrection, as long as we have that as a foundation of our faith and we don't focus on things that we have to do to be saved. The problem with the idea of having to do more to be justified in our salvation is that it's like we're trying to build a ladder. And each thing we do, we get this idea that each thing we do is just another step on that ladder and we're trying to climb our way closer to God based on what we can do. And see, the problem is we can't do it. There's nothing within us that is holy, that is righteous. on our own power. You see, the problem is, if we're in that mentality, we have sin as a foundation under that ladder that we're trying to build up on our own works. And it's kind of like, think of it like quicksand. The more you try to move, the more you try to dig out, the further you fall. People are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. The words of David, "Oh, what a joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what a joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin." I think it's safe to say we all understand that on that day that we received Jesus Christ and we prayed and we asked him to come into our life and we accepted his salvation, we believe what the scripture says, that our slate has been wiped clean. Just like David tells us in the Psalms, yes, what a joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. We continue on in verse 9. "Now is this blessing only for the Jews, or is it also for uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? Was he counted as righteous only after he was circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised." Now, don't get caught up on the terminology. We're not debating circumcision versus not being circumcised. It's kind of a null point. It's important to the Jewish family and the Jewish traditions. Okay, so when it's talking about did God accept Abraham before or after that took place, well, God didn't require that to take place until after he had already been counted as righteous. Okay, so God put that in place as a sign for that nation, for those people to take part of, that they had continued what had been called upon them as necessary. Verse 11, "Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised." So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. Now, that is probably getting a little bit confusing. Because Abraham was accepted before the requirement of circumcision. Okay, that kind of puts Abraham as the father to both the Gentiles and the Jews. See, because God created that nation out of Abraham and his lineage. Does that make sense? Hopefully a little bit. If you're confused, I'm sorry. I'm trying to do the best I can with this one. Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They're counted as righteous because of their faith, just like Abraham was counted as righteous because of his faith, not because of the later required circumcision. So are we considered righteous based on our faith, not on anything else we do. Verse 13, "Clearly God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith." That's a powerful little statement there. God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not based on his obedience to God's law, but it was based on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. Now, maybe in your life you're progressing in your faith and you're finding you're having questions like, you know, what's my next step? What do I need to do to continue to grow closer to God? Now, if you are, that's normal. That's good, you know, that you're searching, you're looking for what the next step is. And as we're reading in Romans, we see that Abraham received the promise that God had given him, not because of the things that he had done, but it was based on a right relationship with God that comes through faith. The more we study our Bible and the more we talk with God and we spend time in devotions and prayer, the more that we build our faith, you could see that your life begins to align closer to God and less focused on ourselves and everything that we want to do on our own. Verse 14, if God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. I don't know that I need to really expound upon that too much. Paul does a really good job of driving home this idea that you can't do it on your own. You need Christ. You need salvation, and the only way to receive that is through faith. The interesting thing about that statement is that it's all-inclusive. When you say, all you have to do is believe in Christ, all you have to do is have faith in Him, that means that every single person has the ability to receive. That there is no circumstances that can separate specific people from receiving salvation. Now, if we said you need to do 6,000 hours of public service, or and we're probably getting into government territory here, but you get the idea. If there were landmarks of ways that you could achieve righteousness, then there is no purpose for Jesus to have done what he did. We could do that in our own power. And I'm pretty sure that each and every one of us here, no one understand that probably some of the reason that we are in faith and that we are here at all is that because we have learned that we cannot do it in our own power. Now, I can tell you from right here that one of the biggest things that has impacted my life was some of the hard times that I've been through that made me realize, you know what, I've been running from God when I need to be following Him. And I've been doing things in my own life that are driving me further away when I need to be going closer. And once I realized that I was broken and that I was not strong enough and that I was not a man enough, I was not, you name it, to do life on my own was the strongest point of me realizing that I needed Christ and that I needed a relationship with Him and that I could trust and rely on Him. No matter how short I fell on whatever situation it was, that as long as I had faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter what happens, there is security. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it, and the only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. Verse 16, so the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's. Okay, now, you heard two different things there. We are all certain to receive the promise of salvation. We are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. The law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. There's a comma there. After that says, if we have faith like Abraham. the underlying theme through all of this is faith. It's faith. Faith is something that gets stronger as you operate in it. It's something that you need to develop. You need to work it out. As you continue your journey in faith, you're going to go one of two ways. You're going to continue walking in it, meaning you're going to continue taking steps forward no matter what's happening around you. You're going to continue to seek God and trust that whatever situation you get in, that He will bring you through it. Or we can receive the gift of salvation. You know, we make a faith statement, we say a prayer, but then we just kind of live life and we don't do anything with our faith. We don't try to grow. We don't try to learn more. We don't try to operate in the gifts that God has given us. We just kind of let life happen and just let everything else be as it may. We don't trust God for more than keeping us out of hell. Now, granted, there is faith in that, but there is more to life than just believing that Jesus came and died for us to keep us out of hell. The more you work and develop your faith, the more you begin to understand your purpose, what you were created for. And one thing I can tell you is that each and every single one of you in here has a different purpose, has a different plan for your life. Just looking up another verse here quickly. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now, maybe, you know, I don't know where each and every one of us are at. You know, if you've talked to me, if you told me about your story, and I know you found salvation, I know you understand what Jesus has done, and you believe in His sacrifice, you have faith in what He did, and you've received salvation. But maybe you're at a spot where you're just kind of searching, trying to figure out what your life is about. This goes for every single one of us. Maybe you have received salvation and you're still trying to figure it out. God, what am I supposed to do? "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now, maybe this part of the message isn't necessarily for you, but it's for your friends. Maybe you know someone that's going through a hard time. Maybe you know someone that's struggling. They're hurting. They're in a spot where they're trying to figure life out, and they don't know why they're here or what their purpose is. Now, if you've never been in that place, it's a very scary situation. That's where people literally will make the decision of life and death. If they do not know their purpose and they can't figure it out and they have no one to tell them about a future and a hope. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So the promise, back to Romans chapter 4, verse 16, the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. I'm going to jump down a little bit. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Even that when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have, talking about as numerous as the sands on the seashore and in other translations. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Verse 20, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger and in this brought glory to God. We're going to wrap up in just a moment here. Verse 21, he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. He was raised to life to make us right with God. It's interesting as we read, Paul tells us that Abraham's story and his faith was recorded for our benefit too. Now, if we really think about Abraham and think about who he was and think about how God gave him the promise and made him to be the father of his chosen people, literally the father of all of those who come to faith, that gives us assurance that in the same way that Abraham was able to be counted as righteous, we can also, by believing, by having faith in the promises of God. The promise that God has given us is that Jesus was sent to die for our sins. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. All it takes is our response in faith. I'm going to close in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time of studying your word and reading through Romans chapter 4, reading about the father of our faith, reading about Abraham. Lord, we thank you that you have given us reassurance that as we can come to you and seek you by believing, by having faith in you and in what Jesus has done for us, we thank you that you've given us an example of one of the pillars of faith and how he was counted as righteous in the same way. Father, we just pray and ask that you would continue to work on each and every one of us, that as we go about life today and the rest of this week, Lord, that you would continue to build faith in us, that you would help us to continue to see and understand that what you're doing in our lives is for a purpose, and it gives us hope. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the promise that you have plans for us. Plans for our benefit and for good, not for disaster. We thank you, Jesus. We give you glory for everything you've brought us through.
Lord, those things help build our faith. Knowing that you've brought us from dark places, you've brought us from serious situations into faith, into hope. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming out today. I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Have a blessed week.